Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today we're going to talk about the Supreme Court. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court, what it does, what it doesn't do. And a lot of people who comment on my videos and ask me questions clearly don't understand what the role of the Supreme Court is. And I get told by a lot of people that the Supreme Court is wrong. And they say it in a way that they expect me to go, oh, you're right. The Supreme Court is actually wrong. As if it's something you measure and say, yes, they're wrong. The Supreme Court has a specific job. It's laid out in the Constitution. And the interesting thing is how many people tell me the Supreme Court is wrong, but they love the Constitution. And they'll tell me all about the Constitution and the First Amendment, and the Second Amendment, and the Third Amendment, and the Fourth Amendment. And of course, we're talking about the Bill of Rights. But the Constitution itself lays out our government, describes what its parts are and how they're supposed to work. And one of those parts is the Supreme Court. So to understand this, let's back up a little bit. The Constitution is a document we all know about. It starts off, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, which is not grammatically incorrect, as many people think, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution, the United States of America. And then it has sections underneath the preamble. And the first section is Article 1. Article 1 is the legislative. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. So the legislative bodies that create and draft our laws are described in Article 1. Many people say that was done to point out that, you know, our founders considered the legislature to be the true seat of power in our government. So they draft laws, and if they pass through their own chambers, then that would get sent over to Article 2, the executive branch. The executive power shall be vested in the President of the United States of America. He shall hold his office during a term of 4 years, together with the vice president chosen for the same term, be elected as follows. And there's a whole description of how the president shall be elected. And it's interesting because many of those processes have changed over time. But then it describes the job of the president. President shall be commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy and of the militia of the several states. He may require the opinion in writing of the principal officer in each of the executive departments, and so on and so forth, and then talks about how he can make treaties with the advice and consent of the Senate, and so on. So there's the executive, there's the president. So we've got the legislature, you got the president. So as we all know from the song about how bills get passed, Schoolhouse Rock, a congressperson comes up with an idea, drafts up a law, tries to get it through their own body, whether it's the House or whether it's the Senate. And if it does, and they send it to the other one, if the other one passes it, it can then get sent to the president for signature. If the president declines to sign it or vetoes it, it can get then sent back to the legislature, who can then theoretically pass it with a supermajority. Not going to get into that right now. But the point is that laws get drafted by Congress, signed into law after passage. They get signed into law by the president, or they become law. And then you've got a law on the books. The law is now on the books. So think of that for a moment, because Article 3 is the next article of the Constitution, and it's called judicial. The judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as Congress may from time to time ordain and establish, which is the district courts, federal district courts, and the courts of appeal. The judges, both of the supreme and inferior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior and shall, at times stated, receive for their services compensation, which shall not be diminished during their continuance in office. Lifetime appointments, and the pay never gets cut. Not a bad gig if you can get it. But the interesting thing is the power of the Supreme Court. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution. Again, the judicial power shall extend to all cases under this Constitution. And then it goes on. It's a long sentence. The laws of the United States and treaties made, or which shall be made under their authority, to all cases affecting ambassadors, public ministers, consuls, to all cases of admiralty and maritime, to controversies to which the United States shall be a party, to controversies between two or more states, between a state and citizens of another state, between citizens of different states, between citizens of the same state claiming lands under grants of different states, and between a state or the citizens thereof and foreign states, citizens or subjects. It sounds like they were anticipating a lot of scrapping going on, okay? But the point is, the Supreme Court has power that extends to all cases arising under this Constitution. All cases. Okay? And then it talks about other things that the Supreme Court can do. The Supreme Court actually has original jurisdiction with some matters. So, for instance, if one state wants to sue another state, which actually has happened, a story I know about, years ago we got in a little squabble with the people of Ohio over a strip of land that contains the city of Toledo, often referred to as the Toledo War, about 1835-ish. And to settle that dispute, basically Ohio got the Toledo Strip, Michigan got a portion of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And in later years, someone pointed out that there's an island right offshore near one of those boundary lines. And Michigan thought that that island should be in Michigan, and Ohio thought it should be in Ohio. And some people actually drew the dotted line right down the middle of the island. Really, really small island, too. And the state of Michigan actually filed an action in the U.S. Supreme Court against Ohio. And we lost that one. So Ohio got the island. But, of course, that goes back to how it seems every dispute we have with Ohio has to do with the referees. But I digress. So the judicial power shall extend to all cases arising under this Constitution. And so remember, there's the three different elements here. There's the legislative, there's the executive, and there's the Supreme Court, the judicial. And let's come up with an example. Okay, so let's take a right that we think we all have that no one's going to argue with the right. Okay, so look at the First Amendment and the freedom of religion. Okay, there's a freedom of religion, right? So whether or not you are a person of faith or of religion or not of religion, doesn't matter to me. You understand this concept. So let's suppose for some wacky reason, Congress woke up one day this year and decided to pass a law outlawing Catholicism. They just said, you know something, we don't like the Catholic Church anymore. We're going to outlaw them. Practicing Catholicism is now illegal. It is illegal to be a Catholic. That's a law. Okay? So they pass it through Congress, and it goes through both houses, and the president signs it, or the president doesn't sign it, but a supermajority in the House and the Senate pass it, and it becomes law. You now have a law in the book saying it is illegal to be a Catholic. And someone wakes up one morning, they go, wait a second, that doesn't seem right. It seems to me that runs afoul of the First Amendment of the Constitution. I think I'm allowed to be a Catholic. I have the right to practice a religion, don't I? So what you would do at that point is there's two different ways to approach this. You could simply file a legal action in the federal court system saying that your right to practice as a Catholic is being threatened, and you'd file a lawsuit and you'd take it up the ladder. Or you could go out and practice Catholicism, get arrested for it, and then fight it that way and take it up that way. But eventually, the dispute would wind up before the U.S. Supreme Court, who would then look at the case of you versus this law. And the Supreme Court would get to hear the case if they wanted to, and they probably would because it sounds like a constitutional issue to me. And they would review it because the judicial power shall extend to all cases arising under this Constitution. And the Constitution would include the Bill of Rights. So it sounds to me like that falls into their bailiwick, as we say. Okay? So they would rule on it, and presumably they would say, you can't really outlaw a religion. Therefore, this law is unconstitutional. And they would issue an order that would, in effect, render that law unlawful. No longer exists. Now, I've had people tell me, they say, Steve, but that's wrong. The Supreme Court's not supposed to be making laws. Well, they're not really making law. Number one, they're canceling the law. But number two, that's exactly what they're supposed to do. The Supreme Court is, according to the Constitution itself, the final arbiter of what is constitutional. That's what the Constitution says. The Constitution says these people make the laws, this person signs the law, and then these people oversee the law and make sure the laws all make sense. Because they are the people who have judicial power for all cases arising under this Constitution. They're the ones who do it. And I've had people say, Steve, that doesn't make any sense. So if it doesn't make sense, first of all, go read the Constitution and see if reading it makes any sense to you. Because that's what the Constitution says. I didn't draft the Constitution. I like the Constitution. But if you got a problem with the Constitution, that's your problem. But the point is, most of these people tell me, they go, no, I love the Constitution. I love the Bill of Rights. I love the Fourth Amendment. I love the Fifth, whatever. Say, okay, you love those. You gotta love this too. You can't love just a portion of the document, okay? And this explains how we figure these things out. And so I've had people say, but no, that's not their role. That's not their role. And I go, well, okay, let's assume that's not their role. Whose role is it? Whose role is it to look at a law and say, yes, that's constitutional, or no, it's not? I've had people say, well, Steve, that's the legislature's role. And I go, wait a second, but they're the ones who passed it. Of course they think it's constitutional. Otherwise, they wouldn't be passing an unconstitutional law, would they? I mean, we can get into whether they've ever passed a law or attempted to pass a law or introduced a bill that they knew wasn't going to get passed. That's a different thing altogether. But the point is that if you ask the person who's drafting the law, is that law constitutional? Of course they're going to say it is. Sure. That's why I'm drafting it. I think it's constitutional. I've had people say, well, Steve, that's the job of the president. I say, well, no, that's not the job of the president. We already saw what the job of the executive is, but the executive signs the bill, you know, and makes the bill into a law by doing that. But again, asking the president, do you find this law constitutional that you just signed? Obviously, the president would say, sure, that's why I signed it. The point behind having somebody who can review this stuff is having it reviewed by somebody else. It's the same reason I tell you if you're getting to, you know, an RV, if you're purchasing a recreational vehicle from a recreational vehicle dealer, you don't have them inspect it. You have someone else inspect it. Same reason. If the legislature is asked, by the way, is this law constitutional? Of course they're going to say yes. But we know they've passed laws before that weren't constitutional because it's happened that the Supreme Court struck them down. And we also know that you can't ask the president because the president's signed bills that became deemed unconstitutional by the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court struck them down. Who would do this if not the Supreme Court? And so people go, well, they keep doing things I don't like. Well, yeah, that's really the root of this. The Supreme Court's not wrong. The Supreme Court is just doing stuff you don't like. And we've all heard the complaint. This bill got passed with overwhelming support, and yet 9 unelected guys in robes just changed the law. Or 5 unelected guys in robes, if it was a 5-4 decision. They just went and changed the law. Well, you want to know something? If something is so overwhelmingly popular that Congress thinks that America would eat this up, if only those unelected men in robes didn't go and change the law. Well, there are things you can do, you know. For instance, you can amend the Constitution. It's actually been amended a whole bunch of times. And there have been occasions where Congress thought, for instance, that Americans should stop drinking alcohol and had a hard time at first. And they said, oh, you know something? Let's amend the Constitution. A thing called the Volstead Act became prohibition. You might remember this if you saw the movie The Untouchables with Kevin Costner. And Sean Connery, by the way. Don't forget he was in that movie too. And then after some squabbling and people realizing we were losing a lot of tax dollars, the Volstead Act got repealed. So we've actually had constitutional amendments that were then undone by future amendments. It can be done, people. So if there's something so burning, so vital to our nation, that everybody wants it, except for those unelected people in robes in Washington, well, Constitution itself says, by the way, there's a way to amend this thing. Do that if it's so important to you. But in the meantime, we got to have somebody other than the people drafting the law and other than the person signing the law to look at it and go, by the way, does this thing pass constitutional muster? That's what the Supreme Court does. So next time you read the newspaper or you read something your friend tweeted you or messaged you on Facebook with, or the latest meme comes up on Instagram and you want to get angry because the Supreme Court went and did something un-American, remind yourself that the Supreme Court's role is defined in the Constitution, Article 3. And the way it's laid out, it's obvious that there's the legislature, there's the executive, there's the Supreme Court. Each of them is important. Each of them is vital to our country. They each have a job to do, and the Supreme Court is simply doing its job. And by the way, yes, I've read hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Supreme Court opinions. Do I agree with all of them? No. In fact, I can tell you right now, in law school, the class that upset me the most was con law, constitutional law. I remember reading constitutional cases, wanting to pull my hair out, which could explain the toupee, and wanting to you know, I mean, I was angry. Some of the opinions that became the law of the land, to me, didn't make sense. Some of them still don't make sense. And I won't do podcasts on it necessarily, but there are a couple opinions that I think are so horribly written. The interesting thing is some of them, I like the results. I go, yeah, I like the result. The way they got there is just strange. And I've also seen some very, very well-written opinions with a dumb result. And then, of course, there's dumb, poorly written opinions with poor results. But the point is, I don't agree with them all either. But you want to know something? This constitutional document was originally drafted, I think, in 1787, ratified in 1789, and the Bill of Rights was, I think, 1791, give or take. And here we are in 2019, discussing our government and our country, which is somehow still hung in there, despite a civil war, and adding a whole bunch of states who can all sue each other under Article 2, Section Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution. So anyways, like I said, that's what the Supreme Court does. They're doing their job. Questions or comments, or if you think the Supreme Court's not doing their job, fire below. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.